like that, old man? You want a piece of me?
Do I feel like it? What do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger punch.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do? You shoot your eye out, kid.
I answered. And don't call me short.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz baby!
I am the father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny!
What a Wednesday, moviegoers. Welcome to the last bonus episode of the year. Welcome to the Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan, and I am joined by the cast. With the cast, joined by Zach.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Zach, man, what are you doing, and what a Wednesday. What feels different, but it's also kind of a bittersweet, I think.
Yeah, it's bittersweet that not only are we ending our bonus series, not only for Spider-Man, but for the entire year, we got this movie, and then next Monday, guys, we're talking about No Way Home.
Spider-Man No Way Home in just a few, literally for me, it's less than 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In 24 hours from now, I will have been walking out of the theater, hopefully saying what a movie that was, and not, you know, that I just wasted 3 hours of my life.
If I get a string of angry texts, I'll know which one it is.
But I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited about today. We're kind of wrapping up this entire evolution of a bonus series that dates all the way back to June, where we took a single idea and talked about A24 movies, Friday the 13th, and now Spider-Man. And now we're wrapping it up, and you know, who knows what's going to happen in 2022. But we're going to talk about Spider-Man Homecoming, and we're going to touch a little bit on Far From Home today. And then we're just kind of going to spitball and maybe throw some fantasy bookings out there with No Way Out, No Way Home. But for this joyful Wednesday evening, if you guys have never listened to a bonus episode, fasten your seatbelts, because it's just about we get straight into the topic of conversation, and then it's ad-free, segment-free, and yeah, so we're going to jump into it and get ready to talk about Spider-Man Homecoming, which currently has a 7.4 on IMDb, 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. The Metascore is at 73%, while the Google users have it at 82%. It had a $175 million budget, and it grossed a little over $880 million at the box office, with a release date of July 7th, 2017. Let's talk Spider-Man Homecoming. Zach, did you get to see this in the theater?
Mm-hmm.
If so, you know, what was it like walking out, and then how was it revisiting it for the episode?
Yeah, saw it opening weekend when it first premiered in theaters. I really liked it. I thought it was a really great way not only to, because we already had Civil War kind of introduce Spider-Man, but this is kind of like, let's like put him, just slowly introduce him into the MCU. I thought they did a really good job. The casting of Tom Holland was spot on. Fast forward to this recent viewing, I still hold those thoughts really high. I still hold this movie up high. It probably dropped a few levels in my MCU top 10 or whatever. But overall, yeah, it's still a very solid film.
Peter Parker balances his life as an ordinary high school student in Queens with his superhero alter ego Spider-Man, and finds himself on the trail of a new menace prowling the skies of New York City. I did not get to check this out in the theater. I had just transitioned from working in theater to going to a new place of work, so I was like, yeah, I'm done with theaters for now. I did catch Civil War in the theater, and we're going to flash forward just to Civil War about his, like you said, he got introduced in Civil War, and I think that was a really good way to introduce Spider-Man
mm-hmm.
into this new crowd. Homecoming, give or take, I watched it like when it hit Blu-ray. So 6 months, maybe 5 months after the theatrical release. And I think that actually helped my viewing experience because the hype had died down, a few more. I think
Ragnarok was out.
Ragnarok had came out in theaters. So I wasn't really focused on current Marvel stuff.
Right.
And I think it was just a really fun watch for me. And like you said, we're going to talk about the cast and the crew and everything in between. And I kind of enjoyed it this recent watch. I didn't think I was going to like it as much. But you know what? At the end of the day, it was honestly a really, really fun roller coaster of a film.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to touch on the characters. You get introduced to... you get introduced, obviously, to Peter Parker. We have seen two franchises, or the same franchise, but we've seen two film series show you the Ben Parker death and show you how he got bit by the radioactive spider. I'm glad that they didn't do that in this one. They touch on it in some dialogue here and there between both movies and even Civil War. So I like how it's just flash right up into the next series of moments.
You get a couple lines of dialogue about the past events, and you don't even get to see a picture of Uncle Ben or anything. But I'm so glad we did not have to rehash this a third time, because it's like, you know, not only if you're not even you don't have to be a Spider-Man fan, you just know he got bit by the spider, his uncle dies shortly thereafter, and then he becomes Spider-Man. You don't need to do it a third time.
No. And you have Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, Robert Downey Jr., Marissa Tomei, John Fairview, Gwyneth Paltrow, Zendaya, Donald Glover, Jacob Batalon, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Batalon.
Batalon. And then it's directed by John Watts. Is it safe to say, I want to get your take on this, I want to shoot straight into some fan theories. One of the favorite scenes of mine is when Spider-Man is talking to one Donald Glover.
Yeah.
The interrogation scene.
Yeah.
Do you think Donald Glover will be brought back in some kind of series? He looks, feels like he could be a Miles Morales character. Or do you think he's too old?
He's too old.
You think so?
He's technically the cousin of Miles Morales.
In the movie.
In the movie. And in the comics, that character is like the cousin or the uncle of Miles Morales.
So he would be the...
Mahershala Ali's character in Into the Spider-Verse, correct. That character.
Which is the... Not the Phantom, but the... right? The bad guy?
He's the bad guy in the Spider-Verse, yeah.
So with that being said, I was taking some notes and just kind of re-digging into it today before we went on. And I'm like, it would be interesting if somehow they tied him back into this series.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, let's forget about that. That's for later on. Michelle, played by Zendaya, who comes to be MJ later on. I think you find out at the end of this movie, she's like, oh, my friends call me MJ.
Yeah.
But throughout the whole movie, she's just known as Michelle.
Which was like a big, like, sucker punch in the face when that was revealed. It was like, so this is our new MJ. Okay.
What did you think of Liz? Did you think she might have been like, you know...
I feel like...
And what did you feel of his crushes or his girlfriends throughout these two movies? Because people are expecting the regular redheaded MJ.
Right.
People are also expecting maybe a Gwen Stacy. They're like, oh, if they're going way back in his teenage years, we should see both of them.
Yeah, and like...
Do you like how they just...
They do their own thing. They don't really rely on quote-unquote lore mythology of Spider-Man, even though, you know... they just do their own thing, and I think it really, really works. You're not sitting there wondering, when is MJ coming? When is Gwen Stacy coming? It's just, these are the two girls that, quote-unquote, Peter likes or are in his life, and you go with it. And I think you'd get two good actors, probably Zendaya. Zendaya doesn't have much to do in this movie. She becomes much more an important character in Far From Home, but that's because of, you know, who she really is. So... But I do think that Liz is...
And this she's one and done and after this.
Yeah, unless she does come back in No Way Home, which I don't think she will, she's kind of a wasted character. Because, like, you know, by the end of the film, they just move into Oregon or something like that, and you never see them again.
But her dad, Adrian, who is Vulture, what did you think of bringing in Michael Keaton for this character?
Batman, Birdman, another Vulture. Bird. Yeah.
And they tease a lot of Sinister Six ideas in this first movie, and I had kind of forgotten about that, to be honest with you. And, you know, rewatching this movie, I'm like, wait, you got Shocker? You got two different versions, technically, of Shocker in this movie. Then you got Vulture.
Mm-hmm.
And
I really like the outfit of Vulture. He has, obviously, like, the Tony Stark tech with the wings and everything. But he has kind of, like, the jacket that has, like, the fur around his neck that looks like, you know, the what a real vulture's neck looks like. That has, like, the little mane around the neck, I guess you would say. But yeah, Michael Keaton, I mean, hey, if you're going to get a bad guy, I think Michael Keaton can do pretty much anything. And I think he is one of the better parts of this film. So,
yeah, he's a really good and fun part of this movie. But you know who else is also fun in this movie is John Fairview.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, and he's in a much bigger part in Far From Home. But I just really enjoy the happy character.
Yeah. I think he's kind of like the glue that sticks all, well, not so much for the entire universe, but just kind of like the down-to-earth characters of like, okay, so there's Happy, you know, he's connected to Iron Man, now he's connected to Spider-Man.
Is it bad that I enjoy him way more than you get of Samuel Jackson in Far From Home? I'm kind of, talk to me about this, maybe you can be my therapist for the night. I'm getting really tired of
the Nick Fury bit.
The Nick Fury character. Especially rewatching Far From Home.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Fury was, you know, you go back into Fury vs. Iron Man. It really is like the connected glue that connected all these films that really brought up this whole big universe. Now, I think we're just past that now. I think, you know, we're
stale.
I wouldn't call it stale. I just think it's just, there's no more juice left in it. It's just basically, you know that Samuel Jackson's going to come up, maybe. You know, definitely Captain Marvel 2, maybe. But, I mean, there's really nothing left for him to do now.
Mm-mm.
Especially since, quote-unquote, the Avengers don't really exist anymore, so.
The biggest part away coming away from Homecoming is you get Ned,
mm-hmm.
Who I don't...
Great side character.
But I'm not a big comic book guy, so I don't know if Ned was a made-up character for these movies or if he was in the comic books.
Ned is... He is a character, but not the way he is in this movie.
Not to this
magnitude. He actually becomes Hobgoblin.
Oh.
So.
Maybe is that why he shaved his head?
No, I think he's just bald in real life. So.
Oh. So you get introduced to, you know, new characters like Ned, a new MJ. The Flash in this movie is, he's not big and tough, but he is still, he's a millennial bully.
That actor got a lot of hate, like death threats from that. The fact that, you know, he's not the white typical jock character. And it's just, he's an actor and he fits that role of being a douchebag. And why are we questioning this?
You know, every time I think this country takes, who knows, you know, I might stir the pot with this and you guys can send me some hate mail. Every time this country takes a step forward, people that send hate mail out like that just proves how this country takes three or four steps back.
I know.
Aunt May. Get introduced to a brand new Aunt May, Marissa Tomei, Oscar award winning actress. Phenomenal in this role.
Beautiful woman, by the way.
And
I think this Aunt May gets a lot more to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, not really so much in this one, but definitely in Far From Home.
Which she finds out at the end of Homecoming that he's Spider-Man, and what a tremendous way to end the movie.
Yeah.
But speaking of finding out who Spider-Man is, Ned is really the first person who finds out other than Tony Stark and Happy. What did you think of that scene?
Well, building their Death Star Lego.
Yeah. And you know what? I think with Disney acquiring Star Wars, MCU, working with Sony, you can have scenes like that. Hey,
yeah.
Let's build our Death Star.
Yeah.
You can't do that in past movies.
You can't do that in the Raimi films.
And,
you know, I think these Spider-Man movies, I think starting with, I don't know, you weren't a big fan of this one, but Amazing Spider-Man, I think it became more acceptable for the side characters to join in on the adventure, but also know the secrets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we didn't get Spider-Man secret revealed in the Raimi ones until at the end of 2. And even then, it was kind of pushing it.
And yeah, in this one, really, you know, the side characters actually take more of a step forward.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Spider-Man, you know, the suit in this one, the last two films that we talked about, or the last two trilogies, or whatever you want to call them, more of a homemade tech kind of suit. This one, Tony Stark builds it. So much tech is involved with the eyes, the webs. What did you think of this suit compared to the past two?
I think it just blends. I think it blends it both, because he has his home suit that he keeps on, like, under the locker, but he also has the Training Wheels program suit. And then you get, like, the suit that's in
Far From Home,
Infinity War, and all of them.
Which is it looks kind of like the ironclad Spidey suit.
Made out of nanotech.
I wrote this down because I wanted to ask. New York City was such a big character in Sam Raimi's trilogy and in the Andrew Garfield. Did you feel like New York City was a big of a character in these two films? It's not in Far From Home for sure. But to me, I feel like when you think of Spider-Man, for some reason, I think of New York City. I didn't feel that way in Homecoming.
No, I mean, I think, and you know, I don't think you have to have New York as a character, because I just, when you think of Spider-Man, you think of New York. It's just like synonymous.
It's like Batman and Gotham.
Exactly. And I think even like the little, I think it's the, like, the little nuanced character pieces. Like when he's doing the montage of, like, I'm just going to go help citizens, and yet he helps.
That's a pretty good, yeah, those are pretty good scenes.
You get the Stanley cameo, and you get introduced to the deli man.
The deli man, yeah, when he goes and gets the ham sandwich.
That's like classic New York, yeah. Where it's just like one of those, like, hole-in-the-wall convenience store places, and so I think that's just, that represents that notion, that aspect of New York in this film.
What did you think of Tony Stark being in this movie? Was it enough? Was it too much?
Or I think it was enough.
Just enough?
Because I think if you get too much of him, it becomes an Iron Man movie. And I think really that whole dynamic between Tony and Peter is a really good, quote-unquote, father-son dynamic without rehashing the Uncle Ben stuff. And it has a moving finale by the time you get to Endgame.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what? Who's to know that they did, while they were doing the Spider-Man movies, I'm pretty sure Kevin Feige might have known, hey, Iron Man's going to die.
Yeah.
And why redo the Ben Parker scene when we're going to have that anyway?
Exactly.
So with No Way Home being 3 hours, 240 and some change, do you think we'll get any kind of Ben flashbacks? Do you think they'll touch on him throughout any of this universe, multiverse kind of stuff? Or do you think they should not even be mentioned?
I personally don't think they will. I think with this whole the multiverse just opens up Pandora's box of what will not happen. The whole the fact that, you know, we're actually bringing back villains from the other Spider-Man movies kind of makes me wonder, are we going to get... I just wonder if they're going to really bring back Tony Stark, truthfully. Because, you know, the quote-unquote idea of he's dead in
this universe,
but he's alive in another one. But he may not be Tony Stark that we know. It could be a different version of him.
Oh, that's true.
So
you think this multiverse could have more to do with other characters than just... And that's a good way to make fans not angry about Garfield and Maguire.
Yeah. You could have them in there, but they're not Spider-Man.
Right. Or you could even, you know, this whole thing of a multiverse, we're all sitting back and saying, when will we see Garfield and Maguire? Yeah. When all reality, what if it's just, you know, they're going to bring in other superheroes from other multiverses?
Yeah, that's true.
Fantastic Four, X-Men.
Yeah.
Blade.
Yeah.
Everything, all these superheroes from these different universes are coming in just to make sure that we're not worried about Garfield and
Maguire.
Because, you know, if they don't show up, fans are going to get upset. But they're not going to get upset if you see the X-Men or the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
but I mean,
or Iron Man.
Yeah, I mean, now, do you think, now that we've had some time to pass...
Deadpool.
Yeah. Now, it would not surprise me, because Deadpool is so meta that he always makes fun of the multiverses that he would show up in this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's... I mean, you know, you only have 24 hours to wait and see what happens. But I mean, the reception of this film is nothing but positive. It's like sitting at like 95% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And that's just critic score right now. That's
That's not the
fan users.
Exactly.
let's get away from Homecoming right quick, because Homecoming, your biggest feels, you know, other than getting introduced to the characters, Vulture lives. He doesn't die.
Yeah.
You still kind of have the Shocker out there, I think. And then you have, you know, Michelle's MJ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of get...
Liz is done.
Iron Man is there, but not. And then you kind of really just full-flown to Infinity War.
Yeah.
Well,
and we also get, like, the post-credit scene of Michael Keaton and the dude from Better Call Saul, Scorpion. And that's another... Does that set up the Sinister Six?
Yeah. So, man, that's another thing that could happen in this movie. I'm sure Michael Keaton is going to be in No Way Home.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that, you know, coming away from Homecoming, looking back at it now, I think it's the superior film between this one and Far From Home. But I think, this is really weird of me saying, I liked Homecoming more, but to me, Far From Home is a little bit more polished of a movie.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Because to me, and I think one of the big criticisms, and it's some people think it's good, some people think it's bad. But one of the big things I've heard negative about Homecoming is that it's a John Hughes film. I mean, it's the comedy, the high school setting, the kind of teen romance. And it doesn't help that there's literally a scene from Ferris Bueller's Day Off in this movie.
I enjoyed that, though. And if anything, you could tie this into Deadpool, because what happened at the end of Deadpool?
Yeah, that's true.
You got a Ferris Bueller's Day Off
reference. Yeah.
So if you see Deadpool in No Way Home, just remember you heard it first.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Homecoming an 8. And I think it's a really, really solid film. It's funny. It's not too funny. You get just enough of Iron Man to kind of
bridge the gap.
Yeah, to kind of boost the morale of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael Keaton steals the show, and I think he's an amazing villain. He's a really good pickup for the MCU.
And another thing I will say is that one of the best scenes, my favorite scene of the film is when, after the fairy attack, you know, Stark confronts Peter, says, you know, it's basically the great, great power comes great responsibility. If you're nothing without the suit, then you don't need it.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. You don't need to say those lines. That's basically what it is.
It's a rehash.
Yeah.
But you also get the infamous Peter, you know, Spider-Man pulling the fairy together.
Yeah.
Almost like you did in Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, with the train.
Did attack. You like that?
Yeah.
Did you think it was, you know, hey, their let's own reference. Version of it? Reference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pay homage, but do something different.
So I kind of like how our favorite scenes were almost from the same scene.
Yeah. I'm going to give it an 8, too. I think Tom Holland is I think he balances the act of Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Just some of his, like, oh my God moments, they kind of get annoying a little bit.
Yeah. But, you know, you guys can listen to us wherever you normally do listen to podcasts at, whether it be iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher. And now thanks to Prescribed Films Network, the PFPN, you can find us on Apple Podcast. So just go to www.prescribedfilms.com, and we have our little own section. You can check out all the other great podcasts on there, like Attack of the Killer Podcast, The Movie Defenders, and yours truly, The Cinema Movie Podcast. Also, don't forget to check our friends over at Friday the 14th Podcast. You can listen to them wherever you listen to us at. A great group of guys. They're talking all things horror movies. They're getting ready to release their Krampus episode, so it should be a fun review. That's one of my it's now a
yearly watch.
It's mm-hmm. It's a Christmas holiday classic.
Are you going to get the 4K naughty edition?
I am. And then you can find us on the social media, facebook.com/thecinemanmoviepodcast. Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. It's where you can find all of my recent watches. And then the Twitter is @cinnamon405. You can check out all of the giveaways that we have on there. So I think our next big giveaway might be for Scream in January.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call it the Killer Giveaway. So you can walk away with you might be able to walk away with an entire Ghostface outfit. But if you want to get into some of those giveaways, just follow us on the social media sites. So yeah, we're always giving stuff away. But you know, we don't talk recent watches on these bonus series, Zach. But I checked out 8-Bit Christmas.
Oh yeah,
with Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah,
and I really, 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 really wanted like it because the way it's, you know, it's from the creators of Elf.
Yeah,
and they make it seem like it's a Christmas story about him. The whole concept is him trying to get a Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they just went overboard with some of this stuff. I'll give my full thoughts on it on Monday. But
so it's kind of like a mix of Elf and A Christmas Story.
Yeah, because Neil Patrick Harris tells his daughter about his journey of trying to get a Nintendo back in the day. So if you have HBO Max, I think it's worth a watch. But let's kind of talk about Far From Home a little bit. Currently on IMDb, it sits at 7.4. Rotten Tomatoes at 90%. The Metascore is at 69%, while the Google users are at 86%. With a budget of $160 million, this movie grossed a little over $1.1 billion at the box office, and it had a release date of July 2nd, 2019. That being said, The Notebook is out of the hand. Let's just do some straight-on fantasy booking, and let's talk about Far From Home. We did do a full-blown episode on it 2 years ago, July 2019, episode 44. So go back if you want to listen to us really dissect that movie. But the biggest getaway from Far From Home is Jake Gyllenhaal,
yep,
who I think he does just as good, if not a little bit better job than Michael Keaton,
mm-hmm,
in Homecoming. And man, he just pretty much has Nick Fury, Peter Parker, everybody wrapped around his finger.
Yeah.
And, you know, all just because Tony Stark called his idea barf.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing about this movie that just really got pointed out to me on this watch. It's basically disgruntled Stark employees. Those are the bad guys in this movie.
Which is
interesting because it's like, you know, Stark's never really had, except for maybe Obadiah in the first film, he's never really had members of his team attack him. So, well, but now that he's gone, they're trying to take that technology back.
What do you think? Do you think he's technically not really from a multiverse then?
No, he's not.
And but this is where you start getting the foundation of a so-called multiverse laid down.
Right.
Which people walked out of this movie thinking,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
know, I think the thing that hurts this, and this is really more of a nitpick on my thinking, is that I will always say that this film should have been pushed after Endgame. Like, you can still do this after Endgame, but just give it a year.
Put it November,
yeah,
or Christmas, and not July.
Yeah, because this was 2 months after 90
days.
Yes.
90 days after Endgame.
No, I just think it should have been in 2020, but we probably would have been talking about that movie this year.
Disney was in the middle of creating the COVID.
Yeah, well.
So that's why they were like, let's get a billion.
Right. But I mean, like, Endgame should have had, and it did have its moment in the sun, but I mean, like, that's the end.
I understand that's the end, but do you honestly think that this movie, let's grasp on this for a minute, a Spider-Man movie 90 days after, you know, the biggest movie of the world, it grosses $1 billion.
You know why it grossed $1 billion? Because people want to know what was coming next. This was really just like the next thing of where do we go from here.
And you think that's why you probably were down, had a little downfall? Is because everybody was like, what's next? And you're like, oh, it's just a regular Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. And I think on the original episode, I think I gave it like an 8.
Yeah.
On this rewatch,
I gave it a 9.
On this rewatch, I liked it better.
You liked it better?
I liked it better just because it's, I know, I'm able to remove myself from Endgame and just watch it as a Spider-Man movie, and it's really good.
Yeah, I went a little lower, but it's probably the same. I'm gonna give it an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Far From Home to me, and it's because of when you add actors like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
And I think the chemistry is better between the characters, especially when MJ and Peter have their moment. It just, it works really well.
Yeah, the only, and see, you liked the comedy in Homecoming, or you thought it was a little too much?
I just thought it was a little too much.
I'm the opposite with Far From Home. I thought Far From Home had a little too much comedy with Ned and his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And Ned, you know, just... I know that's what his character is there for.
Ned being Neddy.
And then the other character that I just did not care for at all was the guy who took a picture of Peter in the bathroom.
Yeah, that was stupid.
I didn't... Not only that scene, but just him as a character. It's almost like...
And there's really no payoff for that character. He just, like, disappears and that's it.
He's and I think the only reason they add him in there because they wanted you to fish, oh, MJ's not going to end up with Peter.
Yeah.
But that character makes no sense.
No.
At the end of Homecoming, you already know that she likes him. So yeah. To throw that character in there...
Well, and plus, he didn't get erased. He didn't get snapped. And so he's, like, 5 years older than all of them. And so it's just a little creepy.
Yeah.
In some sense.
I couldn't remember. Did Zendaya get erased? Did it come up?
It didn't really... That conversation, I paid attention and didn't really
and they
say
called,
who got erased.
Far From Home does come up with dialogue. This is where you start hearing it called the blimp.
I don't like it.
And then you get the Peter tingle.
Yeah.
Which is the Spidey sense.
Yeah.
We didn't get Spidey sense in Homecoming, did we?
No. We got a Spidey sense in Infinity War when he's on the bus and
his arm hairs
come up.
Yep.
But, yeah, these films, like, they juggle the spider sense. Like, the Garfield ones did it the best.
The best.
And then this one's kind of, it's there, but not really type thing, so.
And then, yeah. But to me, that's one of the biggest, it's a pet peeve of mine, if I had to say something about Spider-Man. That's how he has he's got an advantage over the villains.
Yeah.
And that's one of his advantages over the other Avengers.
Yeah.
That's his advantage over Venom, over is the Spidey sense. He can kind of know when, things are going to
happen. Yeah.
So I wish, hopefully they do it a little bit more. And maybe it's because he's such a young Spider-Man.
That's true.
I don't know. Hopefully, is the Peter tingle going to, upset me from enjoying No Way Home? No.
No.
But because I think
you're going to be so wrapped up in what was probably going to happen, what's going to happen in No Way Home, you're not going to care.
How do you like this analogy? This is kind of how I feel. With the other Spider-Man movies, he was a big fish in a small pond. In this Spider-Man, in this universe, with this MCU characters, he's a tiny fish in a big pond. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because...
He's not the only hero in this universe.
That's perfect, because, there was, way back in the Raimi days, there was no talk of bringing anybody in, there's no MCU, this one, every time you watch one of these Marvel movies, you don't know who's going to show up.
Exactly.
So.
I think it's going to be fun, and I can't wait to just, like, next week on Monday, just dig into, everybody's conversation. What's your biggest takeaway from Far From Home? Would it be Mysterio? The fact that, is he really dead? And then you also get the creatures.
The Krolls from Captain Marvel, which that was kind of a...
Is that a letdown?
That was a letdown for me, because it was just like, oh.
To be honest,
like, the Captain, like, it's not even about Brie Larson. Just that movie just, like, sours every time I think about it.
But now with the Krolls, it's almost like anybody could be anybody.
Yeah.
So
you think Tom Holland is not Spider-Man? You think...
I'm almost like, was that Jake Gyllenhaal? What, is Mysterio really dead?
I think he's dead, because I just don't see...
Just because you don't see them spending much money on Jake Gyllenhaal coming back.
And you have a shit ton of characters coming in this movie. I think Mysterio did his job, because it really sets up... Because we've never really had the situation of... the whole world knowing Parker's identity or Spider-Man's identity. And that was a really great cliffhanger, and bringing back J.K. Simmons. So
do you wish they did the fake hair and made his hair look like it did in the Raimiverse? Or do you like him being bald in Far From Home?
Jameson. It doesn't bother me. I mean, I think that character could be whatever, So, he looks like he's aged, which is appropriate, because,
Well, the reason I bring that up, because if he's aged,
Is that in the same universe?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. If I had to say the biggest takeaway from Far From Home would probably be, you know, they really didn't touch on what's next. The thing that hurt, do you think this will be good or bad for No Way Home? The fact that there was a 2-year, almost 3-year gap from, I know we were originally supposed to get this Spider-Man movie in 2021,
mm-hmm.
but man, like you said, Far From Home came out 90 days after Endgame,
mm-hmm.
and then you get the pandemic, you get the Disney Plus shows, you get...
Well, it's had a lot of Marvel between
them. A lot of content, including yeah. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals. And now Eternals.
Loki, WandaVision, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and Hawkeye.
So do
that's
you,
a lot.
Do you think that any of that is going to be entwined with the Spider-Man, or do you think this is just going to focus on MCU Spider-Man?
The only thing that I could see having a big effect on this is probably Loki and what they're doing with Kang. Now, I know Kang is supposed to show up in Ant-Man and the Wasp and Quantumania, but that's like a year or two from now. But I mean, in the grand scheme of things, because he is all about time, that could really... Because in the trailer, there's a scene, and this is not a spoiler. Doctor Strange says, I can't control it anymore. They're coming through. What the hell is that supposed to mean?
Who's they?
Yeah.
Is it the villains? Is it the other heroes?
Are you going to be disappointed? I know there's going to be a lot of people like, oh my god, they're going to bring so much into this. Are you going to be one that, like, not you, but just like, are your expectations that high? Or just like, I'm going in with an open mind. Let's just see what they do.
I'm
going
to go in with an open mind. I'm not going to go in expecting
McGuire and
James Franco to come out. Because my expectations is James Franco. I want James Franco in this fucking movie, but since I know he's not going to be in there, my dream's already shattered.
Yeah.
I'm giving this movie a 3 right now, because James Franco is not even fucking in the movie. I'm going to go in with low expectations. I'm going to talk spoiler on that, or not spoiler, but fantasy booking on the scene you just, you know, said about Doctor Strange saying they're coming through,
mm-hmm.
and it's like they're in New York City, and you see the Statue of Liberty behind them. Did you see or hear the fan theory of that he thinks that it's the X-Men coming through? Because supposedly in the 2000 X-Men, there is a scene from where they're battling up by the Statue of Liberty. Did you see that? Yeah. Or hear that fan theory?
No, but that makes me excited about it, but I know that's not going to happen. That's just that'd be like... I wonder if that'd be too fan service-y. Like, okay, so we're going to pick way back into 2000's X-Men and say that's connected.
So, Kevin Feige was Disney the producer.
Disney owns Fox.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. But, you know, I want to talk to you about just this character and what we've been doing here, Zach. What's your favorite part of what we've been doing with this bonus series?
I think the biggest thing for me, because I hadn't watched these films, especially the Raimi film series, in a long, long time. It's just kind of, it's been an interesting ride to see, like, where this character has came from all the way back to the beginning, which I think, you know, the first Spider-Man movie, I think it will always be up there in, like, top 3 conversations. And into where we are now, and with the MCU, and the fact that Spider-Man is part of that, and... You know, that, which is kind of a hit in the balls, but I mean, they've already announced there's going to be 3 more after this.
But the good thing about that is we don't know if it could be
Tom Holland, or it could be anybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
Miles Morales.
Yeah. And, you know, his contract is done. After this movie, he's technically done with the MCU. Not saying that he wants to be done.
Wait a minute. So you just said we have 3 more Spider-Man movies.
Right.
He's not signed up for those?
I don't know. All I know is that, you know, his contract ends with this film, but they've already said that there's, like, another trilogy planned.
As we're recording, and, you know, this is coming out Wednesday night, did you see the Uncharted poster?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think, you know, I'm not big on video game adaptations, but that one looks cool. You get that one in Mikey Mac.
Oh.
And
I'll do anything for Mark Wahlberg. Dude, I bought a movie called Joe Fucking Bell because of Mark Wahlberg.
But,
which is a good movie, by the way.
I need to see it. You know, I think, you know, he did come out and say, if I'm still playing Spider-Man at 30, then there's a problem. Dude, like, if you enjoy, do it. If you enjoy playing this character, just do it. I mean, we're not saying no, because we're, you know, this movie is going to make $1 billion. and you have a whole fan base that's behind you, so I say you just go for it.
Speaking of Benedict Cumberbatch, the Golden Globes nominations came out today.
Yeah.
And I did that made me watch The Power of the Dog. Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
It's okay.
Oh, that's disappointing.
The performances are really, really good. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's just really slow-paced.
I've heard that. It's like the pacing of the film.
Yeah, it's really slow-paced, and it made me feel like I was watching The English Patient again. Ugh. But Benedict Cumberbatch, you know, I do believe he does deserve the nomination. Jesse Plemons is good in it.
Your favorite person of all time, Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst is give or take. But the subject matter is just kind of weird, and it kind of felt forced. Don't get me wrong. I can see why it's probably going to be nominated for Best Picture. It's the cinematography is amazing,
mm-hmm.
but it's just really slow. An hour and 48-minute movie felt like 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
It could. But it wouldn't surprise me if it's the Nomadland of 2021.
Yeah, we'll have a full conversation about the Golden Globes on Monday. But yeah, that I think Benedict Cumberbatch. And I think that's the glue to this Spider-Man movie. We have to bring in Doctor Strange because, you know, he deals with time. And that's how we're trying to push this forward into the MCU.
And then after No Way Home, you don't have any Marvel movies until May, which is Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Do you think this is going to be more of a fan service ending and then you'll get like a post-credit scene of Doctor Strange leading into Multiverse of Madness, which is a Sam Raimi movie?
I don't know, dude. Like, truthfully, like, it wouldn't really surprise me because of how big this movie is on just, like, the thematic-wise. I wouldn't be surprised if there is no, like, post-credit scene. There might be, like, after, like, the main, like, the post-credits, but not, like, the after-credits. There might be, like, a little post-credit scene, but that's about it.
Speaking of post-credit scene, how pissed were you? Is it Homecoming where you get Captain America?
Yes. Don't you get mad when you have to wait for a long time and it ends up being nothing? I was like, damn you.
Because when I rewatched, I was like, I forgot what the end credit scene was. Mm-hmm. And then I waited and it was that. And I'm like, oh, I would have been so pissed if I had to watch that in the theater.
3 out of 10.
Yeah. So what did you end up giving Far From Home?
Homecoming, I give it 8. Far From Home, I give it 9.
I'm going to go both with 8s. Homecoming and Far From Home is getting an 8 for me. One of my favorite scenes from Far From Home, I'll mention it right quick, is when Mysterio is doing the whole bit to try to get, like, hey, who did you tell? And he makes himself look like...
The nightmare sequence. Yeah.
Very good, very fun scene. And he makes himself look like Nick Fury.
Yeah.
He's like, did you tell anybody? And he tells him. He's like, oh, now I know.
Yeah, that one was good. I'm surprised they brought... zombies into the Marvel zombies. I thought that was kind of a cool touch. The interaction towards the end before the climax battle at the end with Peter and MJ where they kind of go like, where she says, you're Spider-Man. I thought that was great. Like, yeah, let's just get this out of the way so it's done.
What'd you think of the Night Monkey suit?
I mean, it reminded me a little bit of actually the first Raimi Spider-Man, like that like homemade outfit a little bit.
Yeah, it should be pretty fun. So before we get out of here and, you know, count down the old clicker to No Way Home, what is the ultimate goal for you, Zach, with No Way Home? How do you want to see that movie end?
I really just want it as a film. I really want it to be fun and entertaining, but I also want it to be, you know, I want it to lead into something not only joyful, but something to look forward to. Something that is like, you know, these Marvel movies the last 10 years have been really fun and enjoyable, and it's always lead to something. I want it to lead into something that, you know, really sets up what comes next and almost Thanos-like, even though, you know, we don't really know. We know Kang is ultimately probably going to be the big bad guy going into this phase. But I just want to see, like, what are the little seeds and, little pieces of breadcrumbs that lead into that.
I am not going in with high expectations as far as seeing Garfield and Tobey Maguire. I am going in with very high expectations of wanting to see a good popcorn film. I want to see explosions. I want to see some stories end. I want to see some rivalries end. I want to see some rivalries begin. And I want to see something traumatic happen. I want to see a Tony Stark death in this movie. I just think, you know, if this is over almost 3 hours long, if you show Dr. Octopus in the trailer and you don't expect people to go in hyped, then you've already fucked up.
Well, and the fact that you're already showing Doc Ock means there's something more.
Yeah.
So.
And then the fact that Willem Dafoe's in it and we've already seen his original character die. I mean, you can't really sit and grasp on what this film is about to do for not just, you know, the Spider-Man movies, but from any Marvel movie you've seen in the past.
Exactly.
So I am super, super excited. I'm super stoked. And I think I just want to see some – I want to see anarchy. I really, really do.
You want to see just total chaos.
I do. Because I think you need that in some of these movies. And, you know, with Shang-Chi, with the Eternals, with Black Widow, those movies were safe. Those movies are not going to be in my top five of 2021 because they're not memorable.
Yeah.
This movie has the ingredients to be memorable.
Yeah.
And
it really has the ingredients to be top tier comic book movie.
Yeah. But you know what? I want to stop putting comic book on the end of that sequence. I want it to be just a top tier film.
Yeah.
When you know, because superhero movies in DC, they have The Dark Knight. You can sit there and say that's a perfect film.
Yeah.
The Joker. It's a really good movie. With the MCU, they every time you go in there and see something like that, it just feels like a good superhero film.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to see just – and I thought Endgame was going to shatter that glass ceiling. I even thought Black Panther was going to do it, but it didn't do it for me. It still feels like a popcorn film.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really like for Spider-Man No Way Home to feel like a solid just overall movie.
You want it to be an epic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want it to have Oscar nominations. You know, it's coming around at that perfect time. I don't know what we'll get from it, but it's got some A24 cast vibes to it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's time to get out of here. And I think, you know, these bonus series, they've all touched on, whether it be A24, Friday the 13th, or Spider-Man. It's been some fun conversations, and I can't wait to see what else we're going to throw at you guys coming up in February for some bonus episodes, which you're going to go back to monthly instead of weekly.
Yeah.
So yeah, bonus episode probably comes to you Valentine's weekend of 2022. Who knows what we might talk about? We might talk about Valentine's Day with Maggie Gyllenhaal. Mm. Zach, any loose ends or any final bits or nail in the coffins on the Spider-Man series before we go to the theater?
No, it's been fun. Thank you for letting me do this for these bonus episodes. It's basically a series finale in a way. Like you said, you guys, we covered A24, we covered Friday the 13th and Spider-Man. And it seems like each one of those journeys has something new to offer on these films. And I think that's kind of the enjoyment of doing the show.
Yeah. I can't wait. It's been fun. Thank you, everybody, for making these one-hour bonus episodes matching our weekly two-hour epics episodes on Mondays. So, guys, let us know. Monday, we're talking our top five Spider-Man moments. Let us know what your top five Spider-Man moments are by sending in your emails at cinemen921@gmail.com. That's cinnamon921@gmail.com. And then let us know your theater vibes when you go see Spider-Man this weekend. Let us know how packed it was, because one more subject I want to talk about is I hope it grosses $1 billion.
I think it's going to gross $1 billion.
You think?
Yeah.
You think it'll hit it before January?
I think it will.
Yeah?
This is kind of like, you know, I know this is kind of a high high bar, but this is kind of the Force Awakens all over again, because like theaters have added like early afternoon showings, and they've also added like 2:30 in the morning showings.
Give me a prediction. How much money does that make opening weekend?
I'm going to guess maybe $300 million.
$300?
Yeah.
I'm going to go high. I'm going to go $600 million opening weekend.
This is going to blow it out of the water.
I would like to see it. So go make it happen, guys. Go check out Spider-Man No Way Home in theaters, and then come in Monday – December the 20th as we talk Spider-Man No Way Home right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Thank you.